So last session, I'm not there yet, but thank y'all for coming, and thank y'all who are on the MP3 for listening, and but more importantly, hopefully you're just not being mere hearers of the word, but you're gonna be doers, right? And I'm gonna quote this guy here, because this is one of the wildest quotes I've ever heard. And it was so wild, I hope I can see it. Get bigger. I don't know this guy. And so it's Thomas Merton. He says, if the you of 5 years ago doesn't consider the you of today a heretic, you are not growing spiritually. Wow. That's a new standard, right? Yeah. And I saw that, and it was fun. I just confessed to somebody that probably maybe 11 years ago or 12 years ago, New Year's came, you know, and we all do that look back at the year type thing. And that year, I guess 12 years ago, maybe 13. Anyway, I looked back and I did not see any growth in my life. That scared me, because I had taught and preached that if you're not growing, you're dying, right? If you're not changing, you're dying. And I looked back at me and I was like, oh, I don't think I changed. I must be dying. And so I kind of paused and went, God, help me, you know? And he did, and the next year was way different. But I was like, man, that was scary. But this here is even wilder, though. Yeah. If the you of 5 years ago doesn't consider the you of today a heretic, you're not growing spiritually. Now, this is not God. But this is a new standard for me. I'm like going, now I may not go heretic level, but there should be that drastic deal, you know? And I'm like going, oh my gosh. You know, I thought a new book was that's evidence of change. Yeah, I was doing this. But this is wilder than that, you know? So I just throw that out to you if you need any little things to help you, motivate you to do things. That just blew my mind. I guess the last year and a half, this scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, verse 1 I've been using a lot. Now about spiritual gifts, this is amplified. Now about spiritual gifts, brethren, it's y'all, I do not want you to be misinformed. Okay. But in the Hebrew, it says, now about spiritual or spiritual matters or spiritual things, I don't want you to be ignorant of these things. And when I started teaching that or entering that everything I taught, I was realizing, and the Lord told me, we need to be more comfortable in the spirit realm than we are in the natural realm. But we spend more time studying natural. Like, we all went to school, at least for elementary school, right? Mm-hmm. From kindergarten through 12th grade. It's mandatory, right? In the kingdom, there's also kind of mandatory. But we usually are ignorant of spiritual things. We spent more time studying natural things and less time on spiritual things, right? We'd be kind of like hoping we'd learn something or hoping. But this weekend, we've been studying the spiritual matter of identity, right? Mm-hmm. Knowing who we are based on his perspective, not on our intellect, right? Mm-hmm. And we've been learning that, hey, he's got a dream for me or an image for me. Or, hey, I built my own image. And it's a false idol. Ooh, maybe I should get rid of that. Kind of deal. Maybe it's limiting my life. So, but Mick, this whole week, and someone, thank you for a lot of your questions. I never looked at verse 2. Verse 2 says, you know that when you were heathen or ignorant walking around, you were led off after idols. And I was like, oh my gosh. The idols of my mind, my reasoning, my logic has led me for lots of years. But I need to be following the Spirit. But I've been following the idols in my mind. So thank you, because I never saw verse 2. So verse 2 says, you know that when you were heathen, or stupid, or not saved, not born again, not, you were led off after idols that could not speak, and habitually as an impulse, directed whenever the occasion might arise. So we're not led by voice in your head, turn left. It's an impulse of thought, and you do something. And it's so there, but it could be a false idol. You're led by your head, which is, I said, if you lead by your head, you're right dead. So verse 2 is like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Stop thinking and start learning how to hear and flow in the Spirit. And it's always been there from Jesus' time to this time. It's not gotten any different, but maybe we've gotten a little more, we've cleaned up our idols, you know, made them more acceptable. And we're not out there, well, this group is not out there putting food, but you go to any Asian restaurant, there's a little idol there, there's got a little sacrifice there, you know. And back in the kitchen, they're dedicating the food to the idol which you're eating. You guys knew that, right? You know, most Asian restaurants are dedicating that food to a false god. And they're serving it to you because you've ordered it. So.
Are you saying we shouldn't?
I'm just saying. You're giving. I'm just saying.
Okay, that's the law. I radiate light. It's fine. It burns it up. Mm-hmm. I love the side of
my mouth. I'm saying that's what they're doing. Okay. That's what they're doing. And you're helping them do that too. Now, if you go in there with my God is bigger than their God, and all of a sudden you walk out and their little thingy falls over and the hands break off, then you know you're radiating light. You know? But if you walk out and their God waves you, thank you for the worship. I've been set. So I still eat Asian food. Okay. But when
dear
I go,
Lord, Wally, I stopped drinking Starbucks for God's sake. Okay, I'm so sorry.
Stop drinking Starbucks does not stop the.
I know.
That God ruling over Seattle.
Yeah, I know.
Come on, people. I mean,
and when I spoke in Seattle and spoke against the water spirits, and I gave them a way to defeat the water spirits that are very active on that coast and in the rivers. Mm-hmm. And when I went there, I didn't know what a water... I mean, I heard this teaching that he downloaded, but I didn't know anyone who was actually, you know... So I gave it without their permission, and they were like, thank you, we've always wanted to know how to deal with water spirits. Really? Thank you for telling me that? Because I was like, teaching my faith, you know, I didn't know if we were actually dealing with stuff. I was like, giving the message, and they were like, yeah, we got this thing in the river, we've been doing all this stuff, we didn't know what to do. Really, you know, and so, anyway, so there are little g gods all over the place, you know, and we walk by them and go, hey, how's it going, you know, and they go, hey, thank you, we got some followers, you're not one of ours, but don't worry, you're not bothering me, I'm not bothering you. I went to Seattle and bothered them, and I'm thinking, I'm mighty man of God, I leave Seattle on my plane to fly back to Virginia. And the first time ever in my life, I'm in the plane and I wet myself in the plane. So much so I had to change clothes in the bathroom. Now I thought, man, I don't understand. I'm a heavy drinker. I could hold my water, literally hold my water, but didn't. I was embarrassed. The whole seat was just soaking. I felt bad for the guy who was going to sit in my seat because it was like I drenched it. And then I'm thinking, can you see my wet pants? No, you can't. They're dark pants. Okay. No, they're not. Walk fast. And I had a change of clothes in my backpack, and I changed. I thought, what's going on here? And so 6 months goes by, and I'm thinking it's just me, some issue, you know.
Right.
And month seven, I'm like, I finally go ask God. Hey, God, what's going on? He goes, you remember when you went against the water spirits? They came back in your water areas. Oh, that makes sense. I said, what do we do? Well, what do we do? Come against it not in your power, in my power. Oh, so everything that goes on, there's a spiritual thing behind there. Now, maybe you don't know it's there, but it's back there. And the God who knows everything knows how to help you fight something. But he's not going to necessarily give you the answer if you don't want the answer. You know? So, yeah, there's stuff, you know. And you don't go fight stuff without on your own, right? I didn't know I was fighting something. I was giving them equipment to fight something. I was just, here's a weapon, see you later. So I thought I was free from attack. I found out not. So, anyway. So, but we're getting less ignorant every day. Right? Yes, just nod your head,
yes,
to your.
That's right.
We're getting less ignorant every day. We're understanding our Father's kingdom. Our Father wants us to take over the business. Right?
New management.
Which means, yeah, new management. And so we've got to learn how to take care of that part of the kingdom and be invisible and go into 16 dimensions, 32 dimensions, hang out in dimension number 3 for a while. And that's too much for our brain to comprehend. So don't even try it. You don't have to try it. Don't even think about it. Just do what comes natural to your new self. If you feel like going to dimension 32, you go over there. If you feel like killing a demon, you kill a demon. If you feel like creating a new weapon that doesn't exist, you create a new weapon that exists. Don't think about it. What am I going to do today? Which dimension needs me? Which people do that. They fret. Where am I supposed to be? Don't do that. You don't have to do that. Don't fret. You don't have to. You just flow. Whatever feels right in your desire, you just do that. If nothing comes up, then you're fine. Then you're going to rest and rest. Well, if nothing ever comes up, then you're okay. You can go, if nothing ever comes up, say, Father, are you asleep? He said, no, you're asleep thinking that nothing's coming up. You just turned off the alarm, like I did this morning, which I didn't know I did. I thought I turned it on. I really did. And I'm down there, and I'm like, it's been a long time. Ah, it's 9:10. I'm used to having my breakfast at 8:30, you know.
See, that when you, not about the alarm, but the thing before that, when you said, are you asleep? Like, it's, I feel that that's, well, I feel, but it may or may not be true, that people are, some people are asleep, or, of course, now they're not, because we just declared they were waking up.
Right.
But we're used to being, sitting on that pew or whatever, and getting fed instead of actively participating, so it's almost like we don't, people don't know how to actively participate. You know what I'm saying? They're like in this, and we sit in front of TVs and laptops, by the way.
Yeah.
And we're also fed. It's like, where is the active participation in that? We're just like receiving. It's like, well, the soaking thing.
It's like in the natural deal, when, you know, I've had people forever talk to me about my bad diet. Well, I'll eat McDonald's. And I go, I curse you. You know, and I And but until you get dissatisfied with something you put in, you won't activate, right? So, you know, you won't do something about it. Until when I found out, I mean, so there's information, but I'm still like, I don't care, I'm still going to do that, right? But all of a sudden, when you find out you're dying from something, then you're like, oh, I'm going to change, right? When you find out that, I can be under or over, and I've been under. I know it was bad, but when it gets, when you know it's bad for you, then you'll do something, right? And so when a person, when the people who are asleep right now, who are no longer asleep, who are waking up, when they realize, oh my gosh, I'm in a spiritual battle, there are things coming against me, there's a world system, when they realize that, when the veil is pulled back, then they'll wake up and do something. But until that, they're just going to live their life kind of da-da-da-da-da, right? And so you can poke at them all you want, but until they believe it's important, until they know it's real, they're not going to respond. That's how we are too. You know, oh, what? Trading makes a difference? Nah, it doesn't. But until you know it does and not know it here, somehow it's clear to you, then you'll act on it. We only do what we really want to do, you know, unless you're trying to perform for God and we play the game. But those games are not really effective either. We're just doing something, going through the motions. That's not a full engagement. And so when I'd heard about being intimate with God for decades, didn't do it. Then one day I thought, well, I don't think I know how to be intimate. And I started like, hey, do you want to talk to me? There was no response. So we live by faith. I want to talk to you. Silence. Okay, the scripture says, draw near to God and draw near to you. Okay, I want to share a secret with you. I know you know it already, but I want to share something with you. So as I got open with me and with him, he started sharing things with me. I thought, this is fun. Okay, too much intimacy, and I spent 15 minutes, too much, ran away. A month later, I realized there was something more into this life, right? I was telling Zach last night, I'd heard the teaching about 4 chambers, your heart, 1 chamber is a dance room with the Lord, and you can dance with Jesus. Well, I'd heard that before. I thought, I ain't dancing because that's girly, right? But I'd heard about some benefits of intimacy, so I started, in my imagination, dancing with Jesus. In my imagination, I saw Jesus in his white tux. And in my imagination, I had a ball gown. And my ball gown was usually yellow. But we would be dancing on the ceiling, the side of the wall, and it was this cool time of me learning that he's a gentleman, and he really did love me and care for me, and all around me. But one day, in this, my imaginary exercise of dancing with Jesus, I thought, am I required to wear this yellow dress? And if I am required to have the yellow dress, okay, but I just thought, do I got to wear the yellow dress? And we stopped dancing, and Jesus took a step back. He said, how about this? And he became a purple energy cloud. And I became a yellow energy cloud. And then we merged. And I went, give me my dress back. So my brain went, whoa, that was too much, you know. So I was okay. I was happy with my dress now. Because the energy fusion was just too much for my brain too. And I knew we're one, but that was too much for me. I'll take my dress back, please. I could accept the fact that dancing's a very intimate thing, and I was learning and we're becoming one, but becoming energy merging was like, I wasn't ready for that. But it's your relationship. You take it as far as you want to go. But where do you want to go with Jesus? Yeah. I mean, some people are uncomfortable going to the throne room, right? Some people are uncomfortable with guitar music. I don't know what your comfort level is, but find out with Jesus, and then you progressively go where you go. It's a progression thing. So, are you good? Or any thoughts, questions, whatever else? Sir?
If I could just for a second, I want to share a very short story. It's been playing in my head since you gave the example of going to Seattle. In 2005, I was in Istanbul. I was going to be there for 3 weeks with a large group of people. And I was in the hotel, and I'd gotten an English translation newspaper, and I was flipping through it, and in the back of the newspaper was a little article about a discovery of this Hittite mosaics. And so I grabbed my Bible and was flipping back through the maps and all that stuff, going to Hittites, and I'm like, whoa, that's in Turkey. Well, of course, it was in the Turkey paper. And so I'm looking at it, but when I'm looking at this map, I'm also seeing the seven churches. And I'm going, wow, all those churches were all in eastern Turkey. Wow, what does that mean? Well, it was also time for me to give Elizabeth Ann a call. So I got on the phone and I called her. And that night she had gone to hear Waleed Shabbat speak. And she had a chance. She was riding with a woman who was transporting him back and forth, so she had a chance to sit in the back seat with him and talk. So she was sharing what she had heard. I'm sharing her with what I had read and what I had seen about the seven churches, and I hung up the phone, and as I'm walking back to the bed, the Lord just gave me a vision. I was in a cave, and I lit a match, and I heard this, and it was the bats on the ceiling of the cave stirring because of the match, that one match, that little light. It caused a stirring, and the hair on the back of my neck was standing up, you know, and I go, oh. I got back to the phone, called up Elizabeth, we need to pray right now. I don't know what's going on. What I realized, and the reason I wanted to mention this right now is that for all these years, I thought, oh, wow, man, I stirred something up, and man, that was bigger than anything I could touch. And it was. It was bigger than anything I could touch. Mm-hmm. But the Lord has been saving it for this moment. Mm-hmm. And what he's saying to me is, John, I am opening a door for you right now to speak to that.
Oh, come on.
To speak to it. Wow. So I just had to share that because I don't know what other people have heard, what have happened in your life. But don't throw it away.
No.
Yeah. And just wait. Because,
Wow. Awesome. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's wow. Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. Wow. Guess I'll go home now. I'm done. anybody else? Anything?
My son.
My son.
I'm sorry. My middle son went to. He made a some friends with a bunch of Muslim kids, and he went to Turkey. And I was all in fear. Oh, they're going to kill him. He's a Christian. You know, I watch too much TV. Well, Ethan, he said that he would be in a coffee shop, and the Lord said, let your hair down. They need to, like, look at you. You're going to remind them of Jesus. Now, that's like he never, like, he didn't want him opening his mouth. He didn't want him, you know, and Ethan's got really long hair. People say he looks like a European Jesus. You know how people, these young kids, they look like, oh, you look like Jesus, Indian Jesus. A friend of mine, it almost like Indian Jesus. But I'm just saying, like, isn't that strange that the Lord would tell him that, you know? But just that little, he said, no, they just need to be reminded, Ethan. They haven't seen me, heard my name in a long time. Because a lot of those places he were there, that's where Paul was at. And it was just really cool.
And then 1 month after he got back, all heck broke loose in Turkey. And so Daddy was like, oh,
shoot. If I live, I live. And what did he say? If I die, I die for the Lord. That's what he said.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Anybody else? Before we start. Cool. Did my little commercial. I'm 99% sure I'm going to do this. I'm going to have a Superman and Woman conference for believers in Metropolis, Illinois. Location is kind of a big deal sometimes. So Metropolis is where Superman's museum is. It's also during the 40th annual Superman celebration. So the place where in the comic world and the TV world honor a superhero, I'm going to have a Superman Women's Conference because I believe we are a generation that are going to be empowered not by our mind power, not by soul power, not by intellectual power, but by the Spirit of God power, and we're going to operate out of that. So, where am I Superman stuff? Huh?
A date?
Oh, I'm sorry. The date will be, let's go for the record, June 8th to the 10th. And so,
where again was it? Say the people.
Metropolis,
Illinois.
Illinois,
okay. So all those who had the cartoon, he was Metropolis. So that's a real place.
Well, that's Google. How long does it take it there from here?
I don't know. Okay. I need to find out because now I'm going to go for sure during that time just to go and see if God's actually going to say something about it. Whatever. Or I'm just going to have fun in the museum. Okay. But I'll know in the next week or two. I've actually, because I need to find, you know, hotel rooms and space and a place to speak and all that kind of deal, you know. So I haven't done that yet. All I found, and it was weird. I was 2 weeks ago. I was doing something. A guy from Illinois. Well, a guy contacts me. And we're talking. Phone call. I go, where are you from? He goes, Illinois. I go, Illinois. Isn't there a Superman museum there? He goes, do you live close? Goes, so we're just talking about it, you know, and. It doesn't live close at all. He lives 5 hours away from it. I guess Metropolis, Illinois is like on the border of the river between Illinois and Kentucky. So I guess it's southern Illinois. But anyway, it's just, you know, I don't have a word from the Lord. I always show up on the 40th anniversary. You don't have that. I just got, Father, I know that there's more. And I'm not walking in all of your power. I'm walking in some of your power, but I want more. And I'm going to dive in for more. And I think there's a few people out there that want to be on the more journey to the super stuff. Yes. So I'm going to open a door with this conference and stuff. And then I'm going to find out what happens. So if I'm the only one who goes to the door, yay. You know, I'll come back with more Superman stuff. And more revelation of what's out there. So anyway.
Are you going to have a phone book that ascends into heaven?
Well, I don't know yet. I don't know yet. I've got to check into that. Right?
He needs props, y'all.
I do like the props.
And what he would tell you is that we walk by faith and not by sight.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So you need things to trigger you to go look at non-sight. And I really believe that we need to be more comfortable in the invisible realm than the natural realm.
That's important.
Yeah. And it's important, but it's about to get even more important, you know. We were so bombarded by information from people saying stuff. I mean, I'm sorry, bunny trail here. with our president who shares everything and everyone's analyzing it and talking about it and his opinions. So there's so much opinions thrown at us about our president. We go, what? Instead of thinking about it or whatever, we don't go to God. God, what do you think about it? You know? But for your own life, there's so much we see about ourselves, our kids, our stuff, and what people tell us, and we live at the information level. We need to step out of information and go into revelation.
Come on, man.
It's a big difference.
Come on.
You know, revelation comes from God.
Yes.
Information comes from everything else. Mm. You know? And we are so bombarded at this level. We like it here. This is natural level. If it was the example of mountain climbing, revelation's at the high place.
Yes.
It takes effort to go there. The air is thin here. Things are function differently. But if you stay there for a long time, you'll get acclimated. But we don't stay there. We come back down. Well, it's thin air up there. I'm used to, and I'm satisfied with the information I'm getting. You can live up there.
Yeah.
But it's easier to live down here. With information as usual. You can live up here, but it's easy. There's not a lot of people up here. My friends won't come up here with me. Right?
Oh, yeah.
You can all care. My husband won't come up here with me.
Come on.
My wife won't come here with me.
Come on.
My kids hate it when I'm up there. You know? What is the thing that's keeping you from living by revelation?
Whoa. Come on, people.
You know?
Come on.
No one goes in your house and turns your TV on for you. I'm just saying. No, I do it very well. I've got remotes now. Back in the day, I had to get up and turn the channel, you know. Now I can sit back and click power and volume, you know. Back in the day, it was a faith effort. I mean, it was a works effort. You had to get up and turn it on and then come back and hit the antenna and make it stand upright, you know, and then have your kids. I was a kid. Son, stand over there. How long, Dad? Until the game's over. I'm holding. So, anyway, no one does that. We always seek first the kingdom of God. Right? We all do that, right?
We need to develop a trading app so we don't have
to... A trading app. There are trading apps. There's Taruma. Taruma apps. Taruma is where you give... 2% of your income to your rabbi, teacher, leader, person.
Oh, that's cool.
So there's Taruma apps. There's trading apps called PayPal. You can be in your phone right now. Send your money in. You can, you know.
Box.
Yeah, they're the same. So there are the apps already there. Lazy giving. Here we go. Yeah. Anyway, so I want to go with not too long. Anyway, so this is interesting. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5. Okay. I'm going to read it to you.
Grace.
No. Almost. So too Christ, the Messiah, did not exalt himself to be made a high priest. But he was appointed and exalted by him who said to him, "You are my son." So that's Jehovah, Father God. "Today I have begotten you." So it's easy for us to believe that Jesus was awesome because he's God's son. Mm-hmm. Duh. Of course he could do all this stuff. Wally, it's God's son. Hello, you're God's son. Mm-hmm. And so it should be just as easy for you too. Mm-hmm. But first verse says, Christ, Jesus the Messiah, did not exalt himself. He did not work himself into being the king of Jerusalem, the king of blah, 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 blah. He did not make himself high priest. Okay, so there's no pressure on you to be Jesus, to be a wonder worker, to be the best mom in the world, the best dad in the world, the best, and perfect. You can't do it. Mm-hmm. Jesus didn't do it. You don't have to do it either. But what happened? Father God appointed and exalted him. So you just have to be appointed and let yourself be exalted. Okay, this is no work on you. Other than to believe. You're frowning at me.
That's really freeing. Right.
And so it's nothing you got to do.
Yep.
But okay, but what does that mean?
Yeah, what does that
mean? First, it means, are you ready to be exalted? Are you willing to be exalted? A lot of us aren't. I remember at my first EAN conference in Connecticut, a lady asked a question. I know he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What if you don't want to be a king? I looked at her, why did you pay $1,000 to come here? You don't want to be a king. I that was my thought. And I thought Ian was going to smack her. But he gave this great answer. He says, you don't have to be. It's your choice. And I was like, oh, really? I paid $1,000 not to be a king. So it was, anyway. So, but are you ready? Do you want what the Father wants for you? Okay. Will you choose to be exalted? When the Father comes, he says, let's go to the high place. No, I'm busy cooking. I'm busy at the gym right now. God gives grace to the humble. He delights in promoting. Humble is, I will do whatever he wants me to do. Not do what I want to do. Not do what I feel is comfortable with me. Not do what I understand. That's not humility. That's pride. That's self-conceit. That's self-consciousness, not God-consciousness. God-consciousness, I want what he believes best for me. Wally consciousness, I want to understand it. Is it good for me? Is it safe? Does it cost me a lot? Is it painless? Wally conscious. Will I give my desire of my heart to the Father? That's the relationship we're at. You know? And the Father's not like, come on, Wally, give me your heart. Come on, come on. He's patiently loved me unconditionally. But this teaching this weekend will help us take steps, adjust, make some adjustments, whatever, draw near, not draw back. Hopefully those will draw back. You know, at least thinking about what's I'll take a step forward. But it's all about receiving, learning how to receive, right? Will you unconditionally receive your appointment? What's that mean? God, when my kids leave the home and when I have enough savings in the account, then I'll take your invitation. That's called conditions, right? Will you unconditionally receive your exalting, your promotion, and transformation? Yes, Lord, as long as it's not around anybody. As long as everyone knows before, I don't want you to make a big fanfare about it. And don't appear, you know, and don't. Mm-hmm. That's called conditions, right? Mm-hmm. Will you let God be God? Will you individually let the King of all be the King of all? Mm-hmm. Will you let him be all that he is? Or will you keep conditions on him? Yeah. And these are things you don't raise your hand. Yeah, these are heart questions, right? These are things that we need to, it's a self-heart check, right? Now, you don't, and again, don't use these to beat yourself up. Use these as a standard. This is where I'm at. You know, be real, it's okay. You know, that's all right. I'm going to read the verse again just for those that already forgot it. And I did too. Hebrews 5:5. So too, Christ did not exalt himself to be made high priest. He did not do anything to make it happen. You cannot make yourself more righteous. Yes, I can. If I don't sin a lot, I'm more righteous. Nope. Your sinning or not sinning does not make you righteous. What Jesus did for you made you righteous. If you accept that in your, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that's what he says. That's not by anything you do or don't do. It's by do you believe it or not.
Yes.
Okay? So everyone out there that we think are really bad sinners, we go, and they're not righteous. That's not true. You're not who you are but what you do. Even those who are still doing. They are not killers, deceivers, and terrorists. They just blew up a bus. Therefore, they are. Now, you're now agreeing with the devil. You're agreeing with the accuser, and you're now declaring that. You're using your power and your words to agree with the enemy. God says, I died for everybody. For God so loved the world, he... Everybody. Not... I died for the good people. I died for those who are going to change around. It doesn't say that. Now, we read that, but it doesn't say that. He died for everybody. It's possible for every single person to walk in their Son of Godship, right? But they don't believe it for some reason. Some of those terrorist people were trained from birth that your job is to give your life for the name of God, and then you'll have a great time afterwards, you know. So they were taught that. But in their spirit, this is why those people have these wild dreams where Jesus himself shows up. Because that's the only other image that can fight the thing they've been trained for 14 years of their life. Some of them are going like, I don't want you. I still want what I was taught. Okay, you want to keep your idol? Your image that's been, you've agreed with? Or are you going to keep the living one who just walked in your bedroom? But a lot of the living, a lot of the ones that he walks in the bedroom are going like, oh my gosh, I didn't know you're alive. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now you do have people who were trained in jihad terrorism who are out there building churches of the living God. Mm-hmm. Now that's not in the news a lot, right? And so we believe the bombings and not the buildings and the creatings and the life transformations, because our head hasn't heard about it. Right? We watch the TV, we watch information level.
The bad news.
We're information level and not revelation.
Yeah.
We're not receiving this broadcast because we haven't gotten high enough. Mm-hmm. We're staying low and picking up channel 12, 14, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's a choice. You can be wherever you want to be. Mm-hmm. You're not restricted. Mm-hmm. Jesus came and lived and died and resurrected to block the restrictions. At one time we were limited to this. You know, when Adam fell from glory, he said, we can't go up. Our mindset's been blocked. We've made the decisions. We all are what we do. I sinned. I'm a sinner. I'm going to tell you, whatever you do, that's what you are. That's the lie that was propagated. So we believe forever we can't go back to hearing just revelation in life. We're stuck here. We're stuck in our sin. We're stuck without the glory. Jesus goes, what? Okay. You can know the Father. We can? Yeah. No one can know the Father. Moses, only the Father, as the Pharisees. You know, the truth is, we all have access again to the Father. We all can live and breathe here. If you want to. There's no restrictions other than ding, your belief. It's the only thing that stops you. Do you believe or not believe? So, back to Hebrews 5. Which I'm going to jump to James 1. James 1 says, I was really going with James verse 17, then I looked at verse 16 and went, oh my gosh. Verse 16, do not be misled, my brethren. Do not be misled by your head. Do not be misled by your head. That's the Wally translation of James 1:16. Do not be misled by your head. Do not be misled by false information. Now, it's true, but it's not the truth. Okay? It is factual that people kill people. Factual,
yes,
right?
Yes.
It's a real fact. But you're not called to live by fact. You're called to live by faith in the living God, not faith in the living news that's telling facts and lies, right? But Wally, the bus did explode. Yes, it did. And Jesus also resurrected from the dead and gave you resurrection life. Which do you want to live by? The facts or real truth? It's your choice. Wally, I know a guy that trusted Jesus, went to the Middle East, and was beheaded. Fact. Right? Mm-hmm. Do I live only by that fact? Or do I live by every word which proceeds out of the mouth of God? Mm-hmm. But I think he did too. That's his life. Mm-hmm. And now that he's a martyr, okay, I think that's bad. I don't want to be a martyr because I'm afraid of the beheading and afraid of dying. Because I think that I'm supposed to do all this stuff. I think. I'm not checked from the Father, but I think. I think it'd be bad for me to be beheaded. I'm just saying, God. You know. But if I love the Lord with all my heart, maybe my purpose and destiny is to go and be like Stephen, who was killed. But with his death, he was like, he wasn't going, I'm going to die, not another stone. He saw the glory of God. He was like, death wasn't his deal. He was like, death, what? I'm gone.
Death, where is your sting?
Yeah.
I honestly don't think you feel pain when you're martyred.
What?
Because I know my Father.
Yeah. That's, yeah. If you believe, right? If your source of life is what you feel, then you'll feel that. If your source of life is Him, mm-hmm. nothing can touch you.
Okay.
Right? The end of the story isn't there. Right?
Yeah.
I thought it was. Oh my gosh, I'm crying. Oh my gosh. You know. But I'm at this information level. Mm. The Bible in Acts for Stephen's death, information level is that God gave his life and he died. Part two is Saul, who was Paul, was there. And that guy saw something, then that guy was open to a confrontation or engagement with a ball of light. Mm-hmm. Who are you, Lord? Why do you persecute? Why do you persecute the pricks or whatever? What are you talking about, Lord? What's a prick? they knew what it was. And then he had a deal, and he goes through, you know, he's blind for 3 days, and then a believer who's minding his own business, God says, hey, I need you. I know you're not high priest. I know you're not a leader. I know you're just someone who knows me, living at this level here, hidden. Mm-hmm. He's not prominent. He's just one of you guys from Lynchburg, mm-hmm. right? He's not in church. He's just having his devotional time. The Lord says, I need you to go see Paul of Tarsus, Saul of Tarsus. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, at the information level, that guy's killed a lot of people. I'm not talking here. We're here. Mm-hmm. I just want to remind you that he's killed a lot of people. Okay, are you going to listen here? Or go do what I want you to do? Oh, I love you. I'm going to go do. So he goes to the guy that's a killer. He's a major terrorist in the religious system. Mm-hmm. He's allowed to do that. So he's not living by his fear, right? Mm-hmm. He's not living by his information of facts, mm-hmm. of real ladies, kids, children, men killed. Fact. He's living by every word we proceed of the mouth of God, right? He's built a relationship so much that he's now not living off of this. He's now like, that's true, but I'm living on a higher truth. Okay, I'll go. But even he still hesitates. Are you sure I have to go? The Lord goes, I've already shown him your face. Well, I haven't seen his face. Yeah, that's what I would say. Okay, but you know, the Lord gives him the address, the location, and then a little bit. Why would he say that? I've already shown him his face. Well, he said it for me, but he said it for him too. So he gets there and, hi, killer guy. That's what I would have said. So, you're not so good now being blind, are you? No, anyway. But he, I don't think he did that. It's not captured in the scriptures. But if Wally had been called, wait a minute. So what motivated you to kill a lot of people? Did your father nurture you? Yeah, I've been into it. Didn't nurture you? Were you a mama's boy? What's going on here? Is your identity into the... No, okay, I'm sorry. What do you want to do, Lord? Oh, just stop talking and lay your hands on us? Yeah, so... Okay, my bad. So... But he didn't deal with that. Was not recorded, did it? And so, here's a killer that gets transfigured. And why didn't God just do it on the horse deal?
I always wondered that. Why did he sit blind for 3 days?
I think he was getting all kinds of revelations.
This revelation. And he wanted a human being to be a part of it. So when we look at the stories, God wants to use people. He just doesn't want to do it by himself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I would do it, because I don't trust people. I give you... give me $1.50 and I'll see you later. Well, I couldn't find any change. You couldn't find $1.50. Of course you could. You know, people are not faithful, reliable. God loves us and believes in us. God has more faith in you than you do in you. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's waiting for you to catch up to his faith level, right? Yeah. Which is there, right? Mm-hmm. And so once we walk in agreement, do you believe what I can do? No? Okay. How can two walk together unless they're agreed, right? So therefore, if you're not in agreement, you're really not walking together. You're probably following them at a distance. But soon, you're going to catch up and go, hey, you know, yesterday I didn't believe that I could walk on water, or, simple, I didn't believe I could talk to my neighbor about you. That's real practical, right? I didn't believe last week I could tell the lady at Walmart something. But today, I believe. In you and not in facts, not in the fear, not they may slap me, they may, I believe in you. And they still may slap you, but it's okay. I'm not going to listen to the fear of being slapped, I'm going to listen to what you want me to do. Okay.
Can you talk about, Wallace, the power and agreement and the arcing, because that's really what happens, isn't it?
Yeah, but when you agree with a person or a spiritual or the Father, any of the things. There's something that happens, and it's been described as an arcing, and literally when you touch those little cool little balls and see the light spark off your finger. But the arcing that happens happens in that realm, right? So everyone in the spirit realm sees what's about to happen. Okay? Everyone in that realm is invisible is visible, right? It can be visible just to, so they go, look, someone's in agreement. Look what's about to happen. And they have the option to turn and watch it. Wally's actually going to share a testimony and not be afraid. You know, Wally's actually going to, I had a fear of being hurt. So I learned somehow, Doctrine Demons was never declare the word and the activity. So I would teach on healing anywhere, public, private, but never heal. Or I'd go out and lay hands and heal, but not talk about it. Because Wally had figured out the formula for persecution was preaching and doing. So therefore, I never combined them. So I'm in Bible school, and the first message I heard in Bible school was that I had been on purpose saving myself by doing half the gospel. I was either doing the works or speaking the works, but never together. Now, this isn't you guys, but this is what Wally was doing in his head to stay free from persecution, free from not being accepted. So I had a false gospel, a false doctrine, a false image, right? Then when I was confronted with the truth, I was like, oh, wow. So then I had to do it. And there was persecution, but I didn't die from it, you know. It wasn't so bad, you know. And my mind was really bad, and I'd be scarred forever and traumatized. So, back to the arcing. So, when you come in agreement, whether it's two or three or with God, in that realm, there's this literally a lightning bolt that announces someone's going to walk with God. Do you want to see? Right? And it isn't just raising the dead. It's basically give $5 to somebody because the Lord led you to do it, you know, and it's powerful. And so what that arc deal is, it empowers the fruit to remain forever. Mm-hmm. So we think, okay, Lord, I'll give $100. Man, it's a stretch. Write the check out, do the $100. Help this guy, but you're led this, but not just peer pressure. There's someone, there's 12 people here, are going to give $1,000. Yeah, that's manipulation. Okay, even the guy told them to do that. It's the hand movement. You're now touching your emotions. It's a manipulation. Now, if you do it, you know what I'm talking about, right? So, you feel led in the spirit to give $100. The arcing happens when you throw the thing in the pot. The ark now empowers that $100 to do something more than $100 worth. That $100 is now empowered to give not just food, but and it does, it touches stuff. It may change an environment. It may allow a poor person to do something to believe and not kill themselves, right? I felt led to. Okay, Wally doesn't believe people on Facebook exist. Okay. I don't. And so I got a message from somebody who says they're in India. I don't. I don't believe in people at all. Wally theory. So I get a message from someone who says they're in India. I don't see them. I don't know them. I don't care about them. I'm trying to live by the Spirit, not by Facebook. So anyway, the message says, hey, I saw your podcast. Sure you did. And how are you, bro? Fine, sis. Okay. 8 months later, after these silly text things, she says, I want to say thank you. For what? Now, I am by faith believing that there's someone there, but I don't really believe someone's there, and I'm just being encouraging to someone I've never seen. You know. She says, I just want to thank you that I did not kill myself 2 times because of you. And I'm like, I don't believe you exist. I don't say that. I don't believe you exist. I'm like, what could any of my texts done to stop someone from killing themselves? Texting. Very few scriptures. Texting with no faith. Right? I don't believe people, you know, I don't believe you exist until I meet you. just to show myself. I'm stunned by the fact this person says, I want to thank you because I didn't kill myself twice. I thought about it two times, and I'm thinking, like, oh, she was just a mental thing, you know, and she was a little depressed. And then I go, what? I go, what? What? You know? And she goes, well, before talking to you, I attempted suicide about 7 times. Oh my gosh, you're a professional. You know? And now you didn't do it because of something I said? To me, that was a miracle. I mean, that's like...
It really was, but you don't believe she was even there.
Nope.
You think she's lying to you.
Well, people lie, right?
Right, but that doesn't...
Wally doesn't put his trust in Facebook.
So you don't think there was a person that existed? So who do you think was he?
I don't know. I don't care.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if I have a minute in my day, should I give it to someone I can see or someone that's hiding behind a technology? Which one should I do? So, you're real people. I should invest in what I can see and invest in, you know, I can touch and do that. I've lied on Facebook. You know, if you go to my Facebook page right now, it says I live in D.C. I don't live in D.C. Mm-hmm. I want you to think I live in D.C.
I thought you lived in D.C.
Well, you believe the lie.
I'm friends with you, though, Wally. And for God's sake. I'm not a liar.
But you know from talking that I live in Virginia. My plates say Virginia. But on Facebook, my profile says D.C.
I'm getting a little. What did I do?
We'll have a graphics.
The
country of Virginia, yeah.
Anyway, so Wally's weird, so you're now going like, Wally doesn't believe people are Facebook. I wasn't Facebook friendly. Don't go there. I'm just saying I deal with what I deal with, right? But in this analogy of how your life impacts more than you see, my life on Facebook, it was impacting a person way beyond my knowledge. Way beyond, I don't care. I mean, I don't care. And then she says that. I'm like, what? I wasn't living my faith. I was, okay, if you want to be real, I'll text you if you send me. But I never sent her this way. Right? Mm-hmm. And it was just like, I was like, wow, my life matters. Mm-hmm. I should not take little things for granted. You know, you never know what's going on. Mm-hmm. I should live like I'm the Son of God. I should live like I'm up here because I am up here. And I am the Son of God, and what I do matters, right? I should believe that. Mm-hmm. On Facebook, I wasn't believing that. Mm-hmm. But because I am that, what was going on was actually affecting people. Mm-hmm. What if I actually believe this on purpose, with everything I do, with every text to invisible people?
But that was your head, right?
Which?
So was your spirit kind of doing that?
Oh, my spirit? Your spirit's always here.
But
your spirit is always here.
Right.
Once you're alive, your spirit's here.
So the lady was picking that up?
Right. See, it's kind of like, you know, if you're in a bad mood, that vibe goes out. Mm-hmm. Now your face may be fine, you know, that vibe still goes out. So my spirit, which is alive, is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. It's going, so she lives in India. My vibe is affecting India. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. We talked about that. Our worship touched 70 times 7 on the board, and a battleship someplace in some sea. You don't know what's vibing out of you. What happens when you connect your spirit with your mind and start having your mind believe in what you know who you are? Now you're like, now you're really arcing, right? Because now you're in agreement. Spirit, soul, and body's in agreement, right? What if, you know? So that's the power of that arcingness. I was operating 1/3 of myself. And touching a lady in India, right? What happens when I start believing what I don't really know? Mm-hmm. That'll be more effective in these things, right?
And that's the whole point with that 70 times 7. I think the Lord was saying you can have that.
Yeah.
To infinity and beyond.
Yeah.
You can rule and reign over everything that you.
Right. Does. Whatever
or
he does.
Or you can just rule and reign in Lynchburg, whatever you want.
Yeah.
But there's power in agreement. So if you believe that you can do that with the Father, then. Hey,
you can do it,
right?
Mm-hmm. So, but see that thing on Facebook. I was so in my spirit and soul and body. I would maybe 9 months ago. The scripture says Jesus is a life-giving spirit. It's in the Amplified. I forget the scripture. So I thought, if Jesus is a life-giving spirit, I want to be a life-giving spirit. So I started agreeing with that scripture, agreeing with that truth. Not my brain's going, what does that mean? I'm just going to agree with that, right? And so what I was doing was allowing life to always flow out of me. Mm. Without my permission, but life flow. Mm-hmm. My head was going like, what does that mean? Just don't worry about it. You just keep keeping the heart going and keep doing your deal, right? But I'm going to let life flow out of me. I'm going to agree with the Word of God and be a life giver. So all of a sudden, I'm getting testimonies of, you know, I don't feel like committing suicide now. Mm-hmm. It's the life in me affecting them. I didn't say any words, but I'm a life-giving spirit, mm-hmm. right? So what do you agree with? Well, I didn't know I could do that. Mm-hmm. I didn't know either until I saw it mm-hmm. or until it was revealed to me. What? We live by every word mm-hmm. in the mouth of God or every revelation, anything he reveals to you. Mm-hmm. He reveals something to you. You don't have to agree with it. You can go, well, that's nice for Jesus. But all of a sudden you go, hey, I want that too. I agree. Nothing. I didn't feel anything different. All I started was believing that was true for me. Mm-hmm. And then I get this text. Then I got another text. I got a text from a lady who I don't know at all. Again, a Facebook person who
that
I said.
That ain't real.
That's not real. That's right. She's not real. Not. Yeah, it's not real. I get it. And the message is like, hey, I've been listening to your podcast. I don't believe, I post, I've got 60 podcasts out there, and I don't know if anyone listens to them.
We do.
I don't know. No. Well, but I don't know. Because I'm not living here, right? I used to go, I've got to know I'm making a difference. If I don't know it, I'm not making it, I'm going to stop. Because my identity was based on knowing and doing, right? So the Lord said, do it, and I just do it now. So I do it now by automatic him, not like, I don't check my followers, I don't, because my followers are not evidence of my obedience, okay? My obedience is evidence when I do it because he said so, right? So anyway, so this lady out of nowhere says, hey, I want to thank you. I don't believe you exist, but yeah, what? You know? And she goes, my husband died, and I was in great depression. I stopped the ministry. But I listened to one of your podcasts, and life came into me, and so I'm now back.
I just love that.
And I'm like going, who are you?
She's not real.
And she's not real, yeah. You know? And I'm like, so I can't take credit for it, right? It's not me. It's the life I've been believing for the life of God for, and it's working. And so I was like, really? Okay. Now, I'm not agreeing with her information. I'm agreeing with what I know here, because I don't believe she exists, right? So I have to type back with by faith.
Oh, there's an arc right here.
So you're going like, well, I don't. And when I meet people, they go, hey, I've been following you on Facebook for 5 years. Great. Yeah. Now that I know you, you exist. And they go, what do you mean by that? And they get offended. I've been real all this time. You've been real to you, but you weren't in my, I didn't, anyway, that's just me. So, now one day when I get up here and I'll see everyone that I'm connected to. I'm connected to more than people on Facebook. Every once in a while when I'm up here in my mind and spirit, I'll get to call somebody. I'm going, I don't know they're in trouble, call them. I'm not sure. Call them. I'm not sure. Call them. Hey, how's it going? Why are you calling me? I'm not sure. Is it okay? Oh my gosh, I needed this. Wow, you're right, God. So we are a body fitly joined together. You are my brothers and sisters, whether I like it or not, or whether I feel it or not, or whether I think it or not. Up here, we're connected. Mm-hmm. If something goes wrong with you, it goes wrong with me too. But if I'm living here in the information world, I don't know you exist. Mm-hmm. And I don't care that you exist. And I don't care about your problems or your blessings. Mm-hmm. But here, I'm blessed and hurt by what you do. Mm-hmm. At here, I should be able to, it's time to call her. And I've talked to you, I've pinged you a few times, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Hey, I haven't talked to you in a while. How's it going? Because up here is like, send her a little note. Yeah. Send her a ping. You know. Now, I have no idea what that means to you. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea what it means to me. I'm like going, okay. I'm sure she's okay. Okay, well. Hey, Jeanette, how's it going? with my lack of faith, mm-hmm. but my obedience out of love.
Because yeah. you're not real.
Yes.
No, she's real because I know her.
I'm real because he knows me.
But she wasn't real for a long time. No, but you didn't become real until I met you in Lynchburg, then you Facebook. So you were real first, Facebook fake second.
Yes. It was more like down here, you didn't really care.
Correct.
And then when you did make a connection with a real person, now you're up here, you love them, now you're at a relationship. Now it became a relationship then with this I don't care person.
Yes.
So now that's why. Right?
There's
that's
no life in information.
I mean, she's thinking you just, you know, you don't believe that it's a real person.
Well,
but you just don't care. As
both. No, no. Person. I don't care and I don't believe.
It's a real person there?
Yeah.
Okay. He's gotta be
Mick, have you ever gotten an email, a spam email?
Here he goes.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, right. I don't even look at them.
You didn't look at them now. Have you ever looked at one of them?
Oh, yeah.
And did they ever promise you something awesome?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then...
things, yeah,
right.
Sure.
So, in
those
virtual...
I can realize.
Right, in virtual world, when I get a friend from somebody I don't know,
okay,
I always accept men, period. Women, I think they're all witches and evil. I do scan their profile. I'm just being honest, right? Every woman is out to seduce me. That's my default. I go to their profile page. If they're not with friends of mine, I get Facebook from women who are their picture is a nude picture.
Jezebel, yeah, probably.
I don't know, it's a Jezebel. It's a nude picture. Now, should I believe in that person? As in, they're in my life. They connected with me. They must want a friend. I need a friend. Before I had a hole here saying I need people to like me. I would automatically click them because maybe God wants to use me to be a friend in their life. So click all females. Now it's like the nudie pictures, easy. You're not real. You know, you're not real in my life as a valuable asset in my life.
Right.
You're out.
I understand.
Now the person who says, you know, I'm a widow, they have three kids, and they mutual 1,000 of my mutual friends, I'll accept them as a friend. They're still not real until the Lord tells me they're real. Your friend request does not mean you're a real person. That I need to spend energy, time on your life. I may accept you as a friend, and you're not real until the Lord says, you need to do something. Oh, they're real? It's not a mask. It's not a fake deal. It's not a scam. Not a full scam. You've gotten these on Facebook. Hi, I'm Pastor So-and-so, and there's all these people, hungry people, and I just want $10 a month to help me feed all these people.
I don't get these people.
Well... You're about to get them.
I do.
I get them. And so if I believe the information, I will act on it and send them $10. But I'll go up here and go, Father, do you want me to do that? I say, no. That doesn't mean they're not real. He says, I'm led by here, not by new information. Mm-hmm. Okay? I'm the same. So, again, James 1, verse 16. Do not be misled by your head, by factual information. Or... as our president, by fake news. Mm-hmm. Okay, no matter how it's delivered, no matter how it's packaged, you have an option to go to your Father who knows all things.
Yes.
You can figure it out or ask the Father. If you figure it out, you get stronger in your mind and intellect. You get stronger in trusting your reason. Or you can build relationship. Father, I have a question. That's building relationship. There are no stupid questions in the Father's kingdom. Every time you engage with him, you're building a relationship. Mm-hmm. Or you can figure it out yourself. Mm-hmm. The Father never says, don't figure that out by yourself. He says, I'm over here. You want to talk? No, I'm figuring things out. I'll get to you. Right? That's what we do. You know, it's bad. Verse 17, in the midst of you have the option of being misled, verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. So he's going, not from information. I always give you good stuff. Now, people may give you good stuff. If someone gives you $1,000, do not throw it in the ground. Okay? Someone gives you your $1,000,000, don't go, are you a gambler? Is this dirty money? I mean, where did this money come from? When Oral Roberts is building his hospital, a gambler gave him multiple millions of dollars. Most of the religious church persecuted him. How dare you receive dirty, tainted blood money? He went, I didn't receive dirty, tainted blood money. Every perfect gift comes from my father. That's what he did. I was like, no, it's dirty. You're just taking the money because, you know, whatever. What do you believe? Are you living by what people do, or fake people, real people, whatever? Or are you trying to live out of the Father? This is Wally. For me saying that they don't exist is me saying, focus more on my Father.
I'm kind of getting that. It's taking me a little while, but I'm getting it.
Yeah. But that's what I have to do. Remember, what do you do to help you grow more of the Father? You don't have to get all the Superman stuff I get. What do you need to do? You know, I don't know what it is. You know, I went to go teach in Canada, and the week or the month before I was teaching, Justin Abraham was teaching on mystic something, a supernatural something, and he said that Scotland, the coat of arms for Scotland, has a unicorn on it. And I was like, well, unicorns are evil, you know, default. You know? And but the unicorn in that day, in that time frame, stood for the mystical things of God. So that whole nation believed in the mysteries of the Father. The whole nation. I'm like, what? So Scottish people are open to the mystical realms. Okay, that's how it was set up, right? God's plan. But then an earthly system called England brought Scotland into their deal. They took the unicorn off of their crest, put it on their united crest. This is a false arcing. Took the unicorn off. The unicorn on the Scottish deal had a crown on the horn. And it was this wild deal, free. It represented freedom and no limitations and go for God, right? So the British guys go, we want you to be part of the monarchy. And they're like, oh, that's cool, unity, yay. So they took the unicorn off of the wild crown unicorn off of the Scottish thingy, put it onto the new united thingy. But here's what changed. They took the crown off, and they put shackles on the unicorn. Oh. Now you can go Google right now, the monarchy deal, and you see a unicorn with no crown and shackles. Okay? And so bondage, right? It's a religious system, oh no, you won't be free. Oh no, 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 no. Now, yeah. this is true. On the monarchy right now, so Canada is united to England in a way. So I'm studying, prepared to go to Toronto to speak, you know, and I just kind of look and I go, hey, where's the crown? Why are there chains there? And the Lord goes, the religious system was trying to cap the freedom. And I was like, oh my gosh, do they know? Do they know? So I go up to Canada to talk about the free unicorn, right? You know, and the image, to break it. And I'm talking about this stuff. And a guy gives me a coin. Gives me a real metal coin with the unicorn on it. And I'm like going, I guess it's the right message, you know. But all of a sudden, there's lots of stuff going on, right, to hinder you. So what are you doing to help you, right? So I now like the unicorn because I now know what it's, I now have a godly thing with it versus a mystical thingy for New Agers. I've got whatever. I've redeemed it where this is the wildness of God, the freedom of God. This is exploring the mysteries of God. But there's people who have, no, no, we don't do that anymore. No, we don't go there. No, no, no.
That coin was it a Canadian coin or was it a Scotland coin?
It was a Canadian coin. It wasn't the redeemed unicorn with the crown and stuff. It was still the other thing. Because again, everything you see on Google isn't real either. Okay, it's just information. What? It's information. The only Wally's word. Right. Only thing that's real is comes from God. Okay, everything else is
okay. If I don't get anything else, I'm gonna get that.
Yeah, it's all subject. You know?
Hey, how about when you get a text or something that goes, "Hi, this is Anna, and we're just calling you because we want hello." Hi, this is Anna.
Yes, yes. Oh, yes.
You get those right? Yeah. They have those. You know, those are.
Real. Oh, that's not real. Yeah. So again, you know, there's stuff out there that will give you a clue, right? So when I saw that coin, the unicorn, when I heard the teacher from Justin, looked at the thingy, yep, that's cool. Then looked at the English one, what? What is going on here? Is there a giant conspiracy to keep the Christians weak? Yeah. Is there a giant conspiracy out there to keep you not in your Son of God, unlimited? Yeah. It's a religious thing that's coming against you. It's a world system thing coming against you. There's a demonic thing coming against you. They can't stop you, but they can kind of tell you the lie, just like it started in the beginning. Eve, did God really say? It's all a plant, you know? So I start planting back. I see myself as, my father is not from here. I'm from another place. I have powers. I'm not quite sure they are. I need to work on my powers. I have a movie I watch called Superman. When he first learned to fly, he had to practice at it. Mm-hmm. He got better and better and better and better and better. Mm-hmm. Or if you watch another Superman, you find out who you are. Mm-hmm. Wonder Woman's my favorite movies now, because mm-hmm. she has progressive revelation who she is. Mm-hmm. Her whole life is, you know, as she's a little kid, they don't tell her who she is. And they're like, don't tell her. Mm-hmm. And they're thinking they're helping her by not telling her. Yeah. So she doesn't know who she is until she gets the final scene. And the false god who she's designed to kill, the enemy tells her who she is. Yeah. But what triggers her, the trigger which releases her is love.
Yeah.
Not fear, mm-hmm. not the fight, not the thing which will trigger you is love. The perfect love casteth all fear. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. In the Wonder Woman movie, of course it's a movie, but love allowed her to become her fullness. Mm-hmm. At her fullness, she was able to fly, she was able to hover, and she was able to fulfill her purpose. Mm-hmm. And she released all of herself. Until you are fully loved and accepted, you will not be who you are. Mm-hmm. It's relationship, right? Mm-hmm. So, anyway, so I'm loving Wonder Woman for that. And anyway, so every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father, okay? So, what does that mean? Hebrews 7, verse 3. This is our Melchizedek deal. Well, Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. We're introduced to this guy. He's got a long, weird name. Right? And in this last 5 years, there's been a lot about Melchizedek. You know, we're Melchizedek priesthood. We're a Melchizedek generation. We're where we are. We are where we are. So let's look at where we are. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham as he returned from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth portion of the spoil. And he is primarily, as his name, when translated, indicates, king of righteousness. And then he is also the king of Salem, which means king of peace. Verse 3, the weirdest scripture in the Bible, well, at least one of the weird ones. Without record of father or mother, or ancestral line, neither with beginning of days nor ending of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues to be a priest without interruption and without successor. What in the blank does that mean? Your brain's going like, record of father, hey, no father. Then how are you, what? It's just, so anything that I don't really understand, I just kind of push aside. Yeah, there's a lot of things that we hide. Yeah. Anyway, so we got this scripture about this guy. And I'm going to focus on verse 3. Without record of father or mother or ancestral line, genetics. This is back to the other day. Do we deal with stuff in our food chain or do we do this new one? Food chain, our family tree.
Right. Yeah.
Food chain. Family tree. So this guy says there's no family tree. No father, no mother. No ancestral line, which is a family tree. No beginning of days, no birthday. No ending of life, no ending day. What? Now we know Enoch was not, so he had no end date, but he has a birthday and he's a mom and dad. He's in the Bible, right? This guy. He's a king of Salem. What? So it's all back to where was the verse. Hebrews 5:5. Jesus was appointed and exalted. Okay. And you get the opportunity to be appointed and exalted. I'm going to make the case that this guy with no father, no mother, no genealogy, somehow became a king. He was appointed by God as a king. He didn't earn kingship. He didn't kill a bunch of dragons and I make you. He was appointed that. He was appointed king of righteousness, king of peace. And if you look at the New Testament, like, wait a minute, I'm the righteousness of God. Not by something I do, so I've been appointed. Will you accept it? Will you believe it? Or do you need some papers? Yeah. You know, I have a proof here that I'm the righteous of God. Well, whatever. You have the word of God you need to stand on. So the image that we've been talking about, the image in you from the Father is not from your mother and father. It's not from mom and dad. It's not from all the facts that you've done, not your good works or your bad works. Your identity is not made up of how you feel or even what you think. Just like Melchizedek. Now, this guy was so free, and so him, Abraham, who's in the Bible a lot, gives him a tenth of his spoils. What's up with that? And so, let me try to weave this in here. So there is no record that can link Melchizedek to a natural father or a mother. There's no birth certificate, as we know. There's neither any account of his death, nor is there any record of his age. He resembles the Son of God. Now, we've been called to be sons of God. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that sons of God don't have moms and dads, birth dates, recording of a death date, of that. Wally. Okay, again, the Bible says this. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, well, you're a new creature. You're kinos, new. Molly's word is kinosapien. You're brand new, never before seen on the planet. Which means no father, no mother, no birth date, and no death date. Okay? So this kind of person, named Melchizedek, who has the same characteristics of a new creature in Christ Jesus, which is the Son of God, he actually interacted on the earth. So, I'm supposed to be not relying upon my father, who's a lieutenant colonel in the army, he's awesome, wonderful guy. My wonderful mom, who instilled some great values, that's awesome. But I get to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. With no record, not depending upon my father, not depending upon my mother, not depending upon my age. Oh, when can you do the things of God? What age is it? Is it 18? Is it 22? Is it 6? I'm not old enough. I am old enough. I'm not old enough. Not by record of age, right? This king, where do you get his title from? God. Where do you get your power from? God. Who appoints you? God. Or do you wait for people to appoint you? Well, we do. I recognize you as our true intercessor because five of us agreed to it. Or when Father says, honey, can you do this? Well, I don't have a title. Here's a title. Are we waiting for some? I waited for lots of years for my pastor to do something. He never did. The Lord asked me to do something. I thought, well, I can't do that because I've not been recognized by man. And I thought I had to wait. And I waited and waited and did nothing. You know? And then I kind of bumped into, the Father asked me to do something. I thought, well, I can't do that. I got to wait until my pastor says so. You know? And these guys agree and they see my gift, and they all point and vote. Or do you get appointed by your father and act accordingly? Yeah. Or you wait? Well, I'm just going to wait. Well, I waited for a long time. And I did some stuff while I was waiting. Went to Bible school, got certificates. You know, got a conference, got certificates. I remember I went to a conference in San Francisco for deliverance. I got a certificate. Wallace Johnson had completed study and deliverance, is now able to cast out demons. I have a real certificate. And one day I thought, now does the devil now have the certificate? Do I show it first? That's true. Because I saw the scripture, you know, Jesus I know, Paul I know, you, oh, you have a certificate, you're good. And so, but your credibility is not by man. Your credibility, especially in the spirit realm, is not by what you've done. It's what's who you know in the spirit realm, right? So I remember I was in a meeting, and And at the prayer line, this guy got out of the audience and said, "Can I help?" Prayer. I said, "No, sir, we got this. We're good." Mm-hmm. He pulls out a certificate from his wallet. It was laminated. It's true. "I am a man of God." The name, signed, you know, and the date. "You see, I'm a man of God." I went, and I thought of my certificate. I cast a date on it. "Dude, the certificate means nothing. Sit down." "But I am." His identity was in something he did. He actually went to a course or whatever, or whatever, whatever. And I'm going, but if you pull that in the real world, which is, this is not the real world. Mm-hmm. Spirit world's the real world. Where God is real. This is just something.
Yeah, that was a man-appointed thing. Well, but you wear things on yours to remind yourself.
Of what?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Yeah, why do I remind myself of?
Because it's some of God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I, because this thing around me, everything around me says I'm not. Mm. If I go up to a police officer and I go, "Hey, do I have authority?" No. Mm-hmm. Right? A person will tell me what I'm not. Right? My father tells me who I am. I need to be reminded who I am. Maybe you guys don't. I do. Because everything around me tells me what I'm not. The information, the news tells me that I should be afraid of any second now North Korea's going to release a bomb. I should live in fear. That's what's being broadcast. It's broadcast so much when they did Hawaii did an accident. They're blaming Trump for, "You caused me to be afraid." No. It's your choice whether you're afraid based on your information, right? Your belief system. What are you listening to? You had a hand.
Yeah, I've been processing this new image thing, and
hopefully we're all processing this new image thing.
I totally relate with what you said about like how you remind yourself and how you're trying to step into it, and to the whole idea of when you're hearing from your Father in Heaven that this is who you are, and just about the relationship between you and your pastor, and that it's kind of a little bit of a I don't even know how to word that. It's like we respect, you know, these people, and yet, and that they're not God.
Right.
You know, and so I hit this point in my own life this last year, literally in October, and I've mentioned to some of you guys that I went to the conference, and I really, really was so much, really for the first time in my life, connected with the love of the Father. It was that's all I can say. I mean, it was everything came together to do that. Even the wave, myself, from God, you know, all these bizarre things. And I came home, and I just kept saying, "I will never be the same."
Yeah.
You know? And I had this really cool experience where it was a cabin girls meeting, and was it Gwen that invited, or was it...
Rose.
Rose invited us? Maybe, I don't think it was Rose, and she said, we're gonna have a fire pit and bring anything you can, would like to worship. And maybe it was you, and you talked about bringing your djembe.
Yeah, it was Tracy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I don't remember who invited, but it was just bring anything you want to worship.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what can I do? It's dark outside, we're on the hillside, you know, and it was just, you know, you don't want to be falling into the fire. You know, it was weird. So, you know, God told me to bring flags. And I've had this, I just have had this stash of like a large amount of flags, like there's 20 probably or more. Oh. And it was given to me.
No, I was in shock.
And I just brought it in, and I like sent them out, and it was like, what's this? You know? And then we started the fire, and you know, and it was a really, really fun night because Gwen brought her djembe, and there was just a lot of fun stuff going on. We would bring up our phones and just worship to something. And this friend of ours, whom we love dearly, who would, you know, doesn't necessarily, hasn't felt great, you know, a lot of comfort worshiping, just picked up a flag. And she looks at me and she goes, "You know, I'm a baton twirler, don't you?" I'm like, "Go for it, you know." And she totally rocked the earth with that flag that night. It was so beautiful. And her whole family, like her children, her husband. And, you know, at the end of the night, I'm like, those are your flags. Just go. Oh, you know, they're yours, you know. And it was just such a beautiful thing. But anyway, so that night I went to bed. It was Saturday night. And I wake up and I'm like, why am I not flagging in my church? You know? And then I thought, do I need to ask my pastor's permission? And it was this same thing, you know. And I'm like, God called me to do this. You know, well, what could happen? Like, what's the worst thing that could happen, right? And so I went, and every time I've been to my church since then, I've either flagged or danced. And it's like, this is who I am. And it was the love of the Father that literally, you know, it was like, I'm not who other people think I am.
Come on.
I'm not this earthly being any longer. Yeah. Like, this is who I am. And this is where I'm most comfortable, literally. And it's not a comfortable thing. Like, it's not, when I say comfortable, I don't mean earthly comfortable, because it is a sacrifice of praise. It is, like, just as you know, Danielle, like, when you're stepping into this ministry, or we all know, whenever we're stepping into this place of our new image, it might not be the most comfortable thing to do.
Right, right.
But when you start dancing with God, or singing with God, or prophetically speaking out what we see in the room, then all of a sudden, it is the most comfortable place to be. It's the real us.
It's the real.
So anyway, so I just have been kind of resonating that, so I...
Yeah. I mean, on that point, what is real?
Yeah.
And then you watch these, you watch The Matrix, and you watch different things that you're like, no, that's not real, this is real. So it's a battle, but only thing that's real is what the Father says,
right.
Not what you experience.
Right.
And you're like going, tilt, you know? Mm-hmm. So this isn't going to be a battle of philosophy versus about, it's all about what you think it is, you know? And it's between you and the Father. But verse 4 in this place of Melchizedek. So again, we're in Hebrews chapter 7. And we just heard about this guy with no record of father and mother. But I want to spend time on verse 4. Verse 4 says, now observe and consider how great a personage this was to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of his spoils. So verse 4 says, okay, now this is to a Hebrew culture. The top guy in the Hebrew culture is Abraham. Okay. But the top guy in the Hebrew culture is humbling himself to this personage. And they're going like, what? No. It should be the other way around, because this is Father Abraham, seven sons had Father Abraham. But this is Abraham is the top dude. But the scripture says, observe and consider how great a person Melchizedek is, that Abraham the patriarch, would give him a tenth. Mm-hmm. I've never looked at this scripture until this weekend. Observe and consider. So let's observe and consider. Melchizedek was made a king. You are going to be made a king. Okay. You must be born from above and abide in that place and kind of figure out how this works. Melchizedek, in Hebrews 4, was a high priest. You're going to be made a priest. Remember, Jesus did not exalt himself. He was appointed and exalted. You are not going to make yourself Superman. Or Wally's not going to make me Superman. The Father is going to make me that way. Because that's what I see him. That's the image I'm learning about the Son of God. No limits, no restrictions, no bound, not bound by earth, not bound by your thoughts of me, not bound by your thoughts of me, not bound by that leader's thoughts of me. I'm free in love. All right? I'm free to be the real me. Melchizedek was a king. You're going to be a king. Consider and understand this. This is not a natural thing. You can work real hard and become this, but there's a way of being appointed and elected according to Hebrews 5:5. Melchizedek did great exploits. Those who know the living God will do great and mighty exploits. This is where we're changing our mind of, okay, how do we get there? Mm-hmm. We don't get there in our own strength and power, right? Jesus didn't get there And Jesus, if Jesus, awesome Jesus, didn't do it in his own strength and power, he was appointed to. Great. So, wow, I thought I had to figure out some formula, some secret drink. I had to drink eternal water, high alkaline water. I like high alkaline water, but there's nothing here that da-da-da. It's not, you know, all those who are older too. Underdog is a power pill. You pop it in, you come, something super. There isn't that. It isn't communion 3 times a day or 8 times a day. I recommend it, but that's not going to transform you. What's going to transform you is the love of God, and as you behold him, you're transfigured. He does the changing. But you have to believe in the change. Right? Don't believe in what's been told, who you are. Don't believe in your actions. Believe in him. And it's all good. Right? Observe and consider. John 6:42-43. It's one of my favorite interactions with Jesus. It's one of my new favorite interactions with Jesus. They kept asking the crowd, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? Is this not Julie, who goes to our church? She shouldn't be dancing. How can she say she's from heaven? We know where her house is. 120, I won't say that. We know where her house is in Lynchburg. We've seen pictures of her family. How dare her? We know who she is." But your answer should be like Jesus' answer. Jesus answered them, "Stop grumbling and saying things against me." Because you know who you are. You know you're not from earth. You know you're not limited by just your mother and father. Because, well, everyone who's been in this class knows that. Now will you believe it? Jesus believed he wasn't limited by Joseph and Mary, right? And not limited by, you know, his carpenter upbringing. He wasn't limited by the religious system. He wasn't limited by, he did excel in Hebrew. He did excel when he was in the temple at age 12. He answered all their questions. He passed all their tests. He was awesome. Not because of what he did, because of who the Father said. In Matthew 17, "This is my son, listen to him." You too can live from this information level here and not stay here. So, they kept asking Jeanette, son of somebody, we know whose father and mother we know. How can you say, how can you declare that you come down from heaven? Who do you think you are? That's the question of the day. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Based on who you think you are is who you are. Now, if people think they know who you are, and they, sometimes they'll tell you, "Oh, look, your arms kind of, you want to wait till the cast comes off before you do anything." They give suggestions. You don't want a flag on the side of the mind. You don't bring your flags up there because, you know, you may lose one or two. And you haven't taught them yet, so just leave them at home. That's that voice, the thief in your head, telling you to do something that your spirit's telling you not to do, right? The voice of reason, liar. You know, the voice of whatever. Those voices that we listen to regularly tell us things which are reasonable, understandable, but maybe not in agreement with the Spirit of God that's inside of us. Mm-hmm. All right. This says, hey, they kept asking, "Julie, what are you doing? How dare you be teaching in a secular studio? Don't you know you're getting slimed every day? We know where you're from. How dare you say, I'm good. I'm the light of the world." No, you're not. We know where you live. You're natural like we're natural. That's what people say. No, you know, don't believe that because you're like we are. We have problems, you have problems. We're going to have problems till we die. Be with us. But when you start believing a different thing, I'm not restricted by your opinion. I'm not restricted by my mom's opinion, my dad's opinion, my grandma's opinion, good or bad. I hear that I have a different lineage. And I'm choosing to believe I am a son of God. I'm choosing to believe that I am the light of the world. I'm choosing to believe that I'm a life-giving spirit. I'm choosing to believe that rivers of living water flow from me. I'm choosing that image of me and not the image that's been forced on me. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be conformed to the ways of the world, Romans 12, 1 and 2. But I'm going to be renovated in my mind. Mm-hmm. Where? In my mind? Why is that important? I thought it'd be my spirit. No, your mind controls you. Mm-hmm. What you think controls you. Mm-hmm. If God appeared right here and said, you're my sons, and left, you still have to believe it. But he appeared. He was glorious. Yeah. But when he's gone, when he's now in the visible realm, will you believe it or not? The guys walking in the desert saw miracles every day. They saw a pillar of fire. Fire by day, cloud by night, or whatever. Fire by night, cloud by day. They saw it every day. They were fed supernaturally, and they did not believe in God. They died in the wilderness because of their unbelief. And they had signs and wonders right in their face. Okay, I used to believe if I walked with Jesus face to face that I would believe. His disciples didn't believe, you know. So what you see through your eyes does not help you believe. More facts and knowledge doesn't help you believe. You have to choose to believe, and we live by faith. It's only hard when we keep fighting with ourselves, trying to reconvince ourselves. Your brain goes, did you feel anything during the weekend? Shouldn't you have felt something? Didn't he say that his little fire things were running around? Did you feel warmer? Did you really? He didn't even know the name of it the second day. You know, your brain's going digga digga dig. I don't think it was a valid meeting. He doesn't have a title, by the way. His website's really bad. And what does it mean, this Superman thing? That's kind of... He's only 99% sure. I thought he was the son of God. He knew better. Your brain is, it will pick a hole through it, man. Yeah. But you need to be living by what you know from him, not what you got or didn't get, right? You know, when it's a battle. If you compare what you believe and what you know, you'll lose. Because you know a lot, and you only hear a little bit, right? Don't compare what you hear from the Lord with what you think. You get frustrated. You'll hear one time, but the information thing is pounding. Oh, no, 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 no. Don't do that. 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 God says it one time. I'd like you to go to that meeting this weekend. One time. Then your friends go, hey, we got a birthday party. Birthday party? Cake? I love cake. I'm going to go do the cake thing. Or, this is for your body. Hey, well, it's 11 o'clock and you're acting like you're not slowing down. So my body says I'm tired. And then I believe my body, I've had my body for a long time, it's really wrong. So I'm going to agree with my body and say we're tired and I'm going to leave now. So we agree with our body. Mm-hmm. Now the Spirit of God told you to go and get everything you could from that. Mm-hmm. But you're going to go, yeah, but it's 11:30. Or 11 o'clock, this is real, 11 o'clock. And my body, I checked in my body. My body says it's tired, it's ready to go. And my mind says, I think we're full. My spirit's going like, what? Are y'all talking? Why aren't y'all listening? We're having a conversation here. You guys, it takes three of us. We're a house divided. Don't you remember that? And that's the scripture, that's not for real. So we're taking a vote. Body, you in? I'm out. Mind, I'm out. Spirit, what? You guys talking still? Okay, two against one. Let's go. Get the keys. Stand up. Get out of here. That goes on every millisecond. Right? I mean, are you guys just so spiritual you don't realize everyone's talking in you, right? You know? I mean, that's what it is, right? Now, Wally, isn't it? Don't we need to sleep? Well, I have a whole teaching on that. But who are you listening to? Right? Okay. Now, I'm not saying, like, go to meetings and go to 2 a.m. That's me saying something. Now, the Spirit of God says that, then he's something different. But I can practice. I can practice doing things to help my body endure longer. Right? Does that mean work out? Maybe. Okay. I can do things for my mind to put up with this spiritual stuff. I can start going, okay, mind, look, Let's read some testimonies of these great people so you have some information, have a new standard. I shared a new standard today. If the you today, what did I read? The you, who remembers the you statement?
The you today is not the same as 5 years ago. You're not a heretic.
If the you five years ago doesn't consider today a heretic, you are not growing spiritually.
So that's information for your brain for a new standard, right? Right? It's a new standard for your brain. Your information. Oh, I thought growing was getting a certificate of attendance at church. You guys go to churches to do that? Perfect attendance. You ever go to those churches?
Where?
You get a certificate of attendance.
No.
Oh.
Thank God.
Okay.
Brad's a certificate.
Okay. Okay.
I was in the Methodist.
Yeah. See, I got, and that was proof of growth because I had high attendance. Therefore, I was growing spiritually. That was my standard, right? Some of your standard was, oh, I haven't missed church. If I missed one time this year, I'm growing.
People wear it like a trophy.
Right.
They walk around like a trophy. Well, I go to this church for 55 years, and I have never missed a day on the front.
And so again, that's their standard, right? I just threw a new one.
Yeah.
So you, what standard do you have to measure your spiritual growth? Okay, that's all I'm saying. You know, you can adjust it, right? I used to have an attendance one. I've now thrown that out. I haven't quite figured out if I'm going to adopt this Thomas Merton one. That's wild. Not just I'm stronger than the Lord. But you think this is easy for most of us. Okay, 10 years ago, would you be in a room where dancing and someone writes on a whiteboard at the throne and no way in blankety blank blank would I be in a group of people like that?
You're right.
So we're now, maybe it wasn't 5 years ago, but 20 years ago for me, I was a non hugger, non dancer, non. Anyone did that was weird. I'm gonna call 911. That's where I was, right? You know. Now I'm like, go for it. Can I join you? You know. But 20 years ago, I talk about you really good. You know, really, really good. But we're all changing, hopefully, right?
Yeah,
and the cool thing is we can change, right?
Yes.
We can be so again, in closing, almost closing. This cool thing. So in the Roman culture, and you know, in one scripture we're sons of God by adoption or sons of God by being born again. Either way, we're good, right? Mm-hmm. So in the Roman culture, I'm gonna share some things which were, this is our legal knowledge thing that blew my mind. Some adoption protocols, right? So if you were born to a Roman citizen, boy or girl, a Roman citizen, the father, had the right, if you didn't meet up the expectations, you know, you just weren't a good study, you couldn't ride your horse very well, you couldn't sword play, I had the right of saying, I want the boy out because he's not living up to this deal. So you're gone. Okay.
A blood birth
child? Yeah, a blood birth child, okay. You could get rid of. You had legal standing to get rid of it. An adopted child, you can never get rid of.
Yeah, I heard that.
Never. So I'm thinking, in the kingdom, wait a minute, God, you've adopted me. When I'm stupid and do something really bad,
why is that?
Can't you throw me away? Why is that? Why did the Romans do that?
Yeah.
I don't know, but God uses the Romans' definition of adoption to say, I love you, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Okay. Now, I'm sure if I was a father in the world and I adopted a kid, I had some money, I could do it. But the legal system supported that you kill your kid, but not your adopted kid, right? Mm-hmm. It goes on. Once the father picks the adopted kid and you go to the courts, mm-hmm. in the Roman deal, you go to the courts, and the kid's brought up there and they ask you, do you want to be a part of this family? Well, duh. You know, because these families are rich, right? Yes, but it requires the child to say something. Once the child says yes, they bring out a clay slate, and this is where the statement, wipe the slate free. It comes from there. So his past is wiped away.
I wonder if it's 12 years old. Huh? I wonder if it's around 12, too, like the Jewish did with...
I don't know. Yeah. I didn't get that when I was studying this stuff. Okay. So the parallel is, once you get adopted, your past is wiped away, too. Mm-hmm. Okay? I'm like, what? So I now can never be thrown away for being stupid or thinking wrong or whatever, 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 or whatever, whatever. I'm in the family. Yay! Mm-hmm. You know? My past is literally wiped away. In the moment, they take a clay slate of all your history, and they literally wipe it away. Mm-hmm. So once they wipe it away, then they give you a new name. Mm-hmm. So you're not stuck to your old name or your old identity. You get a new identity. Same thing in the kingdom. Once you come in, you're a new creature. No father, no mother, your new family. All your old obligations are wiped away. Well, you see, my dad wanted me to be a soldier, and I got to be a soldier because my dad's always said that, or whatever, whatever. I want you to fulfill my dream, son, in the kingdom. That's wiped away. Now, if you still want to do that because you want to honor that authority, you can, but you're not obligated anymore. You're free from that obligation. You're free from all your liabilities, whatever that is. Promises, vows you made to a group, to organization, to family, you're free from that. This is what the new creation, the new image, the new identity is. Free from your past, free from your old name, free from your things you accomplished, good or bad. You're free.
Dude, that's worth a buck.
That's worth a buck. I bought a new identity for a dollar. You know? But see, this is where we have to work on the renovation of our mind, right? You're not stuck in, well, my family, we were. Oh, yeah, we got freedom. Now I can go cleanse myself up that. Or you can follow what the Romans, who are very legal, worship lots of gods, they gave some tips. Oh, me coming to a new family, all that's past. What? Now, God says it too, but now you got two sources of information, here and here. Okay? And now, surely, your intellect, who's been ruling you, can read. And now, this is what it's for, to store in the good stuff. To, when a bad day happens, like, man, I don't know what's going on in my family line. What's going on? It feels like this. I'm just stuck here. Wait a minute. I'm a new creature in Christ. I read it, and I heard it. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to live it based on this, right? So I just thought it was wild. So I've just got a bonus for you. So not only with the new name, you get new rights. You get new authority. You get new power. Right? It's wild,
speaking
right?
Speaking of names, what does Melchizedek mean again?
It's we're part of its king. Melchizedek, the male is king of righteousness.
King of righteousness.
Yeah. So that's in his. So he got. So somewhere he got that name, right? Okay. And so like, all of us. So name and identity are together, right? We need to ask the Father, who am I? What's my new name? Right? Mm-hmm. What can I really do? I know what I've heard I could do. I know what I was told I'd do. You're not amount to anything. Mm-hmm. That's in us from someplace. Someone has told us we're not going to amount, whether it be your third grade teacher or your soccer coach, whatever, someone, you've heard that. And you need to take that out because that's not true. But what is true is your new life is hidden in the Father. You need to find out what is the image, because I can only become what I see in my mind, right? What image do you have there? Some don't have an image at all. Well, therefore, what are you going to be? You know, so we think about this and go, okay, I want to be everything, Father, but I don't know what that is. He's going, great, let's talk. Well, can I get it by Monday? Maybe. Are you going to believe or not, right? Now, he's not going to shock you, right? I mean, if the Lord right now told you all that you, how powerful you really were, you'd go like, you would not believe it, and you'd like, show me a sign, and we all into that kind of deal. But there'll be a time when you need to know from him, how do I know this is true? Now, biblically, we can look at things like when God told Noah to build an ark, he did not show him, okay, ark. He showed him the ark deal, but he didn't show him the impact of floods and da-da-da-da. He said, I want you to build an ark and do this thing. Mm-hmm. And the movie, the recent movie Noah is an interesting movie, how that deals. And I, the movie for me, there was a lot of stuff like, I'm not sure. But what I was sure about was, wow, I never thought about, dude, you and your family are going to live, but lots of people are going to die. Can you handle that trauma of they died? Now, I don't know if you saw their bodies floating next to the ship, but you knew that there's people outside the ship that are dying. And that, you know, and I never thought about that emotional feeling until I watched the movie, you know. So, and if I had thought about it, if I was, I probably may not have done that because of my mind's going, are you sure you're going to be the only people? What if you hear a scream? What about? So I'm in my head, right, trying to figure out the next step. So don't go there. It's safer for you just to trust him. But getting to where you trust him about big stuff, it's step by step. God's not going to ask you to go run naked down the streets. He asked a prophet to do that. Hopefully, the prophet said, what? But he did it, right? But he did it not based on, oh, this is the thing to do. It's acceptable. It's not acceptable. He based upon his relationship with the Lord. Now, the first time I read that, I thought God was cruel. He's trying to, that's a bit extreme. I'm not sure, because I didn't talk to God at all. But hopefully, out of his love relationship, he was free in Christ and accepted and not worried about the rejection of people. But he just didn't do it for one day. He did it for a year. One of the prophets. Which was
Isaiah.
Isaiah?
I think it was 3 years.
Yeah, it was a long time. It wasn't a day, you know. Yeah. So there's things that the Lord asks to do. They're not logical. And you don't have to do them, right? But it's in your relationship, right? He doesn't love you more if you do what he asks, right? But here's the deal. If you look at Scripture, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I always thought that was weird. But I now believe it is. It takes love to do what he asks you to do. It takes that motivation. I thought the motivation of fear was what was not strong enough to make me do things. It's not supposed to be, you know. But when you really love someone, you don't even think about stuff. You know, when I was courting my wife, I didn't think about she's in Wisconsin, I'm in California, and my phone bill. I never thought about my phone bill because I was in love, right? When I was in love, I was like, oh my gosh, $181. What? What is this? That was in my head again, right? Back to reality. But when you're in love, there's no problems. You just do stuff.
Yeah.
Love is a powerful. Love is powerful, right? So you can live in that, right? And that's a better motivation than anything. The David's mighty men, they loved him enough. They were talking about stuff. And David goes, you know, guys, I just missed a drink of that cold water from that well in Jerusalem. Well, his three guys loved David. They wanted to demonstrate their love. So they fought their way into a Philistine stronghold. It wasn't Walmart after hours. They fought for a pouch of water, fought their way in, got the water, fought their way out. And go, here you go.
Yeah, but if it's a snowstorm, it could be like that.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah. Walmart. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it could be a battle. And I did it for Chuck E. Cheese. My daughter, I love my daughter. So early years, she was born in England. And so age 2 or 3, we started Chuck E. Cheese birthdays, right? Mm. So 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That was always Chuck E. Cheese. So one day so it was easy. Chuck E. Cheese, San Antonio did it, but we moved to Colorado.
Oh.
On her birthday that morning, it's a blizzard, and she's like, "Papa, we go to Chuck E. Cheese after work." Now, because this was love. This is my demonstration of love for her. It's easy in San Antonio. I'm thinking she'll forget about it, but I come home to the blizzard in Colorado, and she's dressed to go to Chuck E. Cheese. I'm thinking like, it's a blizzard. Don't you understand? Chuck E. Cheese will be closed.
Should put her outside for 5 minutes.
Well, no, she had seen the, you know, she could see the snow up from the window, right? So I'm like, well, I love her. I'm thinking, well, we'll go to the Chuck E. Cheese and it'll be closed and I've done my part, right? Well, 45 minutes away, we slide into the Chuck E. Cheese parking lot. It's open. There's no one there but us and Chucky, right? And the guy who makes the pizza, right? And we literally slide into the parking lot. I'm like, I wanted to go home because this is bad, right? You know, we may be living in Chuck E. Cheese for a bit. But all I'm saying is the love of our father for his little daughter, and I had proven this for years and years, I'm going to do this, but I never thought I'd have a blizzard. I thought she'd understand. Mm-hmm. See, honey, we can't go up there. Chuck E. Cheese. You don't understand. You love me. Now, she didn't say you love me. She wasn't manipulating. But I knew, well, Waller, are you moved by love for your daughter or moved by what you see? Mm. It's pretty bad out there, God. You know, I don't have to go. And I could have said, no, honey, it's dangerous. No, honey, I'm not sure. We've never been there before, which is true. All these are true things. We never had a birthday in Colorado, you know. But we went anyway. And to my surprise, in the empty parking lot, Chuck E. Cheese was open. And we slid into the door, and we were nice and warm, and we had a Chuck E. Cheese birthday party. Now, her friends weren't there because we just moved there. I mean, it was just mom, me, mom, and her, my daughter, and Chucky. Right? And so, you know, in the big things, if you do things out of love, it's okay. Right? If you do things out of understanding, well, you know, you'll miss out some opportunities. Right? But we're not looking to live normal lives, are we?
No.
We're talking about those who know their God will do great exploits. Yeah. Now, they're not looking to have a name because, yay, great testimony, great story. Mm-hmm. We're looking to live our real lives.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And this story here says, McKessick, now observing how great a personage, this is about how great your life is of people who know God. And choose to believe God and choose to be motivated by love, then it's cool, right? Then you'll be the real you and not the fake you or the you that pleases that group. And, oh, I gotta change, I gotta please this group. Oh, I gotta change, I gotta please this group, you know? So I just want you to be you. You know? I believe the Father wants you to be you, all right? Again, made in His image, His image, not a predefined image. Not an image someone thinks you should be, but he knows the real you. Mm-hmm. And the real you is in Him, and you together can arc together to be the real you. Okay? And the real you is awesome. I need the real you, right? I need you to be you, right? I need me to be the real me too. We need each other to be the real deal. So I'm encouraging you to not trust the facts, but to trust Him who loves you. Receive His love, believe what He says, and ask Him for help to be who you are. And it's all good. Don't perform for Him. He doesn't want you to perform for Him. He wants you to do things with Him, not for Him. The Lord's looking, John chapter 4, the Lord is looking for those for worshipers, lovers, not workers. Religion works hard. Every religious group out there, every religion, every false religion is working to get someplace. Only in the kingdom do you just receive and then do. Other worlds, you do and you may get. This is the only relationship-driven religion. Relationship-driven, forget religion. There's no relationship in religion. It's working and doing and earning. Here, it's loving and receiving. That's the difference. So I'm encouraging you to love Him and receive. I'm encouraging you to be still and know. Love and go. Now go and get some love. Love, 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 then go. And you won't notice it's hard. You'll do some amazing things. People will tell you how hard it was. Oh my gosh, you fought into the village and you went there, you paid $12,000 to go on a mission trip and then you sweated all that time. Oh my gosh, it's so hard. You're going like, I didn't remember it was hard. I was just loving. I was just loving. The money came in. I went. Oh yeah, it was hard. I did sweat. Oh my God. Oh yeah, I didn't think about it. I was just loving and doing. Now that you mentioned, I guess it was hard. But if you think about it, you'll never do it.
Yeah, that's true.
You'll never do the things that you read in the Bible, mm-hmm. those great exploits. But if you love him, all of a sudden you'll look back and go, oh my gosh, what have I done? Oh my gosh, what? I went to New Zealand for 2 weeks without any network. Cost me $60 to go over there. I spoke every day. Didn't know anybody when I went there. What? How's that possible? It's not possible in the natural. And you look back, as you start looking back on stuff, it's cool. But if you look forward to, okay, how am I going to go to New Zealand again? How's the flight come? Don't think about stuff. Just wait in the Lord. Be still. Know he's God. And then you'll walk in your path. Right? You won't copy someone else's path. You'll have a full, satisfying life. You'll be like the guy that led Billy Graham to the Lord. He thought he was a worthless, unsuccessful evangelist. He was out there passing out tracts, saw no fruit. No fruit for most of his life. On his deathbed, he dies, thinking he's didn't do anything. Did a lot of work, no fruit. He didn't know he led young Billy Graham. And now, from his cool vantage point, look at that guy. You know, I'm a hope. Well, I don't know the guy. I haven't talked to him there, but he was doing a lot of stuff, looking for fruit. Judged his life by results, what he could see, and said, failure, based on what I can see. He didn't know, beyond his knowledge base, that one young man was going to believe and lead more people to the Lord than Paul or anybody else, right? But it was by a guy who had a bad thought life, right? So don't let your thoughts stop you from loving, stop you from believing, stop you from being who you're called to be. Okay? Because you are made in his image. Okay? Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.